90% of public middle school and high school principals report that their schools offer sex education. But the kind of sex education varies from school to school, as does the length of the course. For the last few days on NPR News, we've been reporting on the results of new polls by NPR, the Kaiser Family Foundation, and Harvard's Kennedy School of Government about sex education in the nation's schools. Today, NPR's Wade Goodwin takes us to a one-day abstinence-only lecture at a middle school in Dallas.
It's fourth period at A.W. Spence Middle School in East Dallas, and the hallways are quiet. The 12, 13, and 14-year-old students are where they're supposed to be, paying attention in class. Most of them, anyway. But today is special. There's going to be a happy break in the routine. Instead of going to science class,
we're going to talk about sex, okay? And that's pretty cool. I thought you'd like that, okay? That's pretty cool. Come to school, and for the next 45 minutes or so, we're going to talk about sex.
Instead of science class, there's going to be sex education. More specifically, don't have sex education.
This is not going to be embarrassing. I would not bring you in here and embarrass you, okay? I'm just going to give you some facts, some statistics, some true stories, and you're going to need to decide how are you going to deal with sex as you're growing up.
Marilyn Morris stands in front of the stage of the school auditorium. It's dark. A giant white screen hangs from the ceiling. A laptop glows in front of her. But before she gets to her PowerPoint presentation, Moore starts off with a story about herself. It's 1968. She's a senior in high school. She's a tennis star, and she has a serious boyfriend named Chuck. Morris wants to be a good girl, but her girlfriends tell her that sex is nothing to be afraid of.
And I fell for it, because it was amazing from that point on. Every time Chuck and I were alone, all I could think of was, well, if everybody else is doing this and nobody's getting hurt, then why are we waiting?
So they don't wait, and boom, she gets pregnant. Now she has to marry Chuck, and her budding tennis career is over.
I've got regrets. Things I wish I could go back in my life and change, rearrange, and do all over again. But it's too late for me.
The students sit rapt. They don't often get talked to like this at school. Having gotten their attention, Morris now goes to her laptop and begins to pop the kids with facts.
And by the way, don't think it couldn't happen to you. Because did you know that every single day in our country, 2,739 teenage girls get pregnant every day in America?
What the students are hearing is a program called Aim for Success. It is abstinence-only sex education. Morris and her staff give 2,500 programs a year in hundreds of Texas schools. Aim for Success contracts with both school districts and individual schools, costing about $1,000 to $2,000 per school, depending on the school size. This company has become so popular that some here in the Lone Star State have dubbed it Abstinence Incorporated. While many might equate the teaching of so-called abstinence-only sex education with the religious rite, there is nothing religious about Aim for Success. Morris doesn't need God to strike fear into the minds of her listeners. She's got disease.
Every single day in our country, 8,219 teenagers get a sexually transmitted disease. Every day. Wow, that's a lot. Boils down to about 1 out of 4 sexually active teens get an STD every year.
Morris's words are reinforced on the huge screen. She moves quickly from one point to the next as she builds her case, the slides changing seamlessly behind her. Her main emphasis is a discouraging one, that any boy or girl in this auditorium could be a little sexually transmitted disease time bomb, and there is no way to know who.
Most people with sexually transmitted diseases today are asymptomatic. They feel great. They look great. They don't have a clue they've got a sexually transmitted disease. It could be weeks, months, maybe years before they realize they're infected, and yet they can be highly contagious and infect everyone they come into sexual contact with.
Morris and her staff know these pubescent teens are forever thinking about having sex, and they use that to their advantage, playing off it to make the students laugh. There is nothing prim or repressed about the presentation. Morris flashes up the inside of a teenager's uterus, 7 feet tall, on the screen.
What you're going to be looking at is the inside of the female reproductive system. It's kind of like looking at a heart or liver, okay? So here we go. Ladies, believe it or not, this is what you want to look like inside.
The students laugh, but they're riveted, leaning forward to look as Morse next flashes up the uterus of a teenage girl whose fallopian tubes have been ravaged by chlamydia. This picture is of someone Morris knows. It was this girl's first sexual contact. She got cancer. She's now sterile. And Morris uses her intimate knowledge to lace her narrative. Much of what she says is aimed at the teenage girls, but not all.
Let's think about that young man. You know what? To this point, he's never had a genital wart. He may never have warts. He may just cause other people to have warts. There's a real good chance he's not going to get cancer from this because most guys don't get cancer from it. But he does have an incurable sexually transmitted disease, and he can cause all the people he comes into sexual contact with now to be infected. So to you young men in this room, do you understand the incredible responsibility you have as young men?
But in fact, at this age, 12 to 14, Morris and school officials say intercourse is not what most of the sexually active kids are doing. It's oral sex. That's considered safe sex by most of the girls. You can't get pregnant, and you can still say you're a virgin. Aim for Success didn't used to talk about oral sex to middle school students, only to the high school students. But parents kept complaining to them that that's what the children were doing.
Now, let's do something a little different here. Let's take an oral exam, and let's see how much you guys know about oral sex. This is a true-false test, and let's see how you do. Okay, just tell me true or false. Here we go. A pregnancy can occur with oral sex. Good job, it's false. Try the next one. STDs can be transmitted by oral sex.
This is the kind of sex education the science teachers at A.W. Spence say they could never teach. It may seem ironic, but because the context of Aim for Success is abstinence only, their lecturers can be graphic, detailed, and hard-hitting because nobody is going to accuse them of bad intent. Brenda Kirby is Spence's principal.
The biggest difference that I saw is that this is more real. The Aim for Success is more real. They talk specifically in the terms that kids understand. They speak openly about the actual situations that kids are facing.
Kirby says her teachers don't dare talk about oral sex in their regular health science curriculum. In Texas, it's just too politically loaded.
The controversy comes in when it appears that you're promoting, telling them how they can have it. That's where the controversy comes in, and that's what everyone is wanting to avoid, giving information that could be perceived as promoting promiscuity for young kids.
And while the teachers at Spence Middle School talk about the biology of reproduction, they don't talk about oral sex or a lot of the other aspects of young sexual life. But Aim for Success does, and in detail the science teachers could only dream about. They discuss girls and boys inviting each other over to their bedrooms when their parents are out. They talk about how alcohol lowers inhibitions and short-circuits self-control. They discuss at length how emotionally painful it is when you break up with somebody you're sexually intimate with. Marilyn Morris and her trainers don't have to worry about how any of this is going to be perceived by parents or politicians, because in the end, their message is, don't do it.
Oral sex is not safe. Please don't ever let anyone ever tell you it is, because it's not.
If there is one thing that Aim for Success does not talk much about, it's contraception. In fact, they don't discuss it at all, except to say that condoms don't guarantee protection from anything. First, Morris puts up on the screen all the disasters that can befall a sexually active teen who doesn't use condoms. Pregnancy, AIDS, the different sexually transmitted diseases, cancer, infertility, pain and emotional suffering, all are listed. Then she waves her hand and makes those words disappear. Then, with another wave, Morris puts them all back up on the screen in exactly the same order and says, here are the things that can happen to you if you do use a condom.
The point is, even if you use a condom every single time you have sex, you could still deal with any of these problems. Now, the question you have to ask yourself is this, can you chance it? Is it worth it?
Privately, Marilyn Morris says that condoms get rid of some of the risks and some of the problems some of the time. But she does not say that in her presentation to the students. Back in class, the students all said they liked the presentation. This particular class did not have Marilyn Morris, but one of her trainers named Eric, who was young and very funny. But there was some confusion about parts of the program's message. For example, 14-year-old David thought the Aim for Success presentation meant that condoms did not help prevent disease or pregnancy at all.
I didn't know what little effect condoms had. When he showed like chances of disease you can get from having sex, and then he showed the chance you getting those diseases with the condom, didn't really do anything, just still had the same chances and stuff.
The students said they learned a lot about sexually transmitted disease and the dangers of having sex. 13-year-old Martha said she'd never heard anything like it.
It was different because he gave us more information than our teacher would have. Because in health, we would just like the definitions, we would just see what they said in the book. But he didn't really talk to us about it.
But when asked if they truly intended to abstain from all sex until marriage, that was a hard one for Carmen and many others in the class.
They're not to have sex at all. I don't know.
If I ask you to be honest with me, you will be. How many of you think you actually will have sex before you get married? Show me your hands. Be honest. I'd say, what would you say, 75% of the class think so?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell me why. I mean, just because, is it too long to wait till you get married?
Yes. You never know if you're going to get married. Because you never know if you're going to get married.
This is what Aim for Success is swimming upstream against: avid sexual curiosity and not wanting to be left behind. It's what lured Marilyn Morris into her boyfriend's bed in 1968, and it's beckoning to this group of teens in 2004. Although David is making a joke when he says this, he means it.
Because you want to be experienced when you get married. You don't want to get in there and don't know what to do.
Championing the cause of abstinence in an economy driven by images of young sexuality is a daunting task, to say the least. Aim for Success does the best it can, bringing its well-packaged vision of self-control and self-esteem to students ages 11 through 18, 1 hour once a year. Wade Goodwin, NPR News, Dallas.
You can find the complete results of the NPR Kaiser Kennedy School Sex Education polls at the NPR website, npr.org.